I like to remind us every once in a while, we had two teenage boys visiting, and the choir was singing, and things kind of got lively. And the more lively they got, the bigger those boys' eyes got. And I could tell they'd never seen anything like that before. And as people worshiping the Lord and they were shouting, I went back to talk to them two boys. I sat in the pew in front of them, and I said, "Is this your first time in a Pentecostal church?" "Yes, sir." And so I asked one, I said, "Well, what do you think?" And this is profound, because this was not a church guy. He said, "I think this is a place somebody could get help if they wanted it." Out of the mouth of babes. Isn't that, I feel that way today about these services. This is a place that somebody could get help if they wanted it. Such a tremendous moving of God's Spirit this morning, and yet there were some folks that left without the help they needed. Weren't you thankful the way the Lord just touched our hearts and He's present amongst us? I said He's present amongst us. In neither of these sermons today had I planned on this being the sermons. Of course, you know, the Lord came by this morning and changed things right in the middle of prayer and in the service. And He so arranged it that the theme is much the same tonight as it was this morning. And neither one of these were what was in the work, so to speak. But I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 2. It's one of my favorite chapters. Mark is an action writer. His whole gospel is action. If you had to put it under a genre, that's what you'd put it under, action. And the center of the action was the Son of God. That's why the action was taking place. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Again, like I did this morning, I'm not going to seek to exposit this. I just want to draw a thought from it. And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. That's not the sermon tonight, but I want you to know, it's wonderful to know He is in the house. How many knows the Savior is in the house? The Deliverer is in the house. The Healer is in the house. The Baptizer is in the house. Isn't it good to know He is in the house? That got noised abroad. Verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. I mean, they filled up the house. They were looking in the windows. They were several. Those men that were with us when we dedicated the church there in Nicaragua, do you remember how it was that night? They were pressed in from the outside, looking in the windows. And what did He do? What did Jesus do? He preached the word unto them. It wasn't choreographic dancing. It wasn't spiritual illusion. It wasn't juggling. It wasn't even singing. He preached the word. Hallelujah. I believe there's power in this word. Hallelujah. Now, at this point in the reading, I want you to notice this pronoun, they, and I want you to notice how many times it's mentioned. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy. And by the way, the old word palsy here doesn't mean shaking. It means paralysis. So they brought one that is paralyzed. They, let's do our count again. They come unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And in verse 11, he went on to say, Jesus did, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Now, there is a lot of important spiritual truths here that I would love to preach about Jesus, but the focus tonight is in these pronouns they, and I don't know if anyone counted them or not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six times in those short verses, it talked about what they did, and then one short verse, it talked about what Jesus did. Now, the most important thing is what Jesus did, but I want us to see those six times, it's what they did. And I'm going to preach tonight on you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You can be part of that they. Amen. How many believes? Well, I'll just preach it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd move and challenge our hearts tonight. Thank you for your spirit that was so present in both of our services. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to individuals. May this be a turning point in their spiritual life tonight. Lord, may they see what's possible as they surrender to be a vessel and an instrument in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. I was reading this week about a pastor. He was given the account of his declining church. He had started a church and it grew exponentially for several months. And so they thought they was going to need to get a new place to meet. And so they got a larger place to meet. And he said, as soon as we moved in, the crowd began to fall off. He said, every week there were tens less. The church went from something around 500 in just 10 weeks, he said, to about 250. He was just going like this. And he said he was so depressed, and the church seemed depressed. And so they began to pray. And he said, the turnaround happened. Because in our time of prayer, suddenly it occurred to us this thought. It was sent from God, but he said it occurred to us that we could still make a difference. He said that was the turnaround in our church when God began to speak to our hearts that we could still make a difference. You know what's happened to some people? The reason their spiritual passion and their spiritual desire has left them, they have stopped believing that they can make a difference. But I want you to know, these four in this story, they made a difference. They made a difference in someone's life that we're reading about even tonight. And I want you to know, you can join the company of the four and make a difference. You see, the truth, the simple truth, is that this man with the palsy, this man with the paralysis, he would have never been healed by Jesus if he had not been brought by these four unnamed men. We don't even know their names. We don't even know their relationship. Amen. We know they're in the Word of God. But that man would have lay on that bed of paralysis and died, never touched by the hand of the Master, never saved of his sins, had it not been for these four unnamed men that brought him to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell us tonight, you can make a difference. You can be one of the four. You can be somebody that brings folks in contact with the touch of the Master. Hallelujah. I think it's time that we realize afresh and anew, we can make a difference. It's so easy for Christians to get stuck in the attitude about things. It doesn't make any difference to me. That song doesn't make any difference to me. That service doesn't make any difference to me. Amen. That Southern Ohio Youth Camp, that doesn't make any difference to me. It's not my thing. And we get this attitude about this church and this Christianity, we begin to look at everything. What difference is it going to make to me? That attitude will kill your spiritual fervor. The question isn't, what difference is it going to make to me? The question is, what difference can I make to others? Hallelujah. We've got too much of that other Christianity. I'll come if you sing my song. I'll dance if you'll play my tune. Amen. I'll come to the church dinner if you have my favorite dish. Amen. If I get something out of it, I'll be a coming. I'm telling you, that attitude will kill your spiritual fervor. It ought to be, amen, this: how can I make a difference? Amen. You can go to a camp service. Amen. You say, well, that won't make any difference to me. It'll make a difference to some young people. You could sing in the choir. Well, it don't make any difference to me. It might make a difference to the choir director and those around you and those that would hear it. Amen. I'm not coming to church. It don't make any difference to me. Amen. It might make a difference to the one down the pew. Amen. That would see you reaching out to the Lord. I think we just need to turn that thing on head. Have we begin to think what would happen if it got a hold of the church? Not this thought. How is it going to bless me? But if it got a hold of our hearts, how am I going to bless somebody else? How am I going to help? Can you imagine what kind of move of God and blessing would take place if every church service that we sat in, it's not what is this service doing for me, but oh God, how can I be a blessing? Whom can I pray for? Whom can I help get through tonight? Amen. You can make a difference. I want to share some simple things about the thing that these four men did. First of all, they could have not brought him to Jesus had they not been going there themselves. Don't you like it when we get deep? Isn't that so deep? Amen. They could have never brought him to Jesus had they not been going there themselves. Hallelujah. Sometimes those things just come, and I'm just going to share it. It's been a while since I shared it. How many remember Sister Angel? Woo! How many remember Sister? Yeah. You never know, but Carol's an angel too. Sister Angel was a shouter. When I first came, she was already a shut-in, and I began to go see her. And she'd get happy on a dime. And I went in her living room one day, and I just sat down. And she had a slower way of speaking. She said, "Woo! Brother Hurst, I've just been reading about the woman at the well." She said, "The Lord's he spoke to me from that." She shouted a while and she said, "He said you can't give anybody else a drink till you've been to the well first yourself." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the reason they were able to bring that man is because they wanted to go to church that day. They intended on meeting the Savior that day. They intended on hearing the Word of God that day. You know, somehow as you read this story, the reason they brought that man to Jesus is because they were excited about Jesus. Amen. The reason they took him to church, they were excited about church. Amen. The reason they believed Jesus could heal that man is because they believed Jesus could touch them as well. And when they got the news that Jesus was in the house, they headed that way. But somewhere along the way, one of them said to the other, "It's wonderful that we're going to be there. It's wonderful that we're going to hear him speak. It's wonderful that we're going to know his presence. But what about our friend languishing away in his house on the bed? What about him? Hey, wait a minute. Let's take him with us." Hallelujah. And the reason they took the man there, because they were headed there. Hallelujah. And then secondly, they could not heal this man, but they could bring him to the one who could heal him. That was some of the theme that came forth tonight. I want you to know I'm a realist. And I want to tell you something. Especially today, people's lives are in such a mess that you don't even know how to begin to suggest a solution. I mean, I hear people sharing their entanglements and their habits and their financial problems and their relationship problems. And I've lived a while now, and I've heard a lot of stories and seen a lot of things. But so many people are in such a mess, I have to look at them and say, "I don't know what to tell you to do. But I do know if you would bring it to Jesus. Hallelujah. How many knows that from an earthly level we don't have the solution? We don't know what to tell them. We don't have the answer. We don't have the resources. People's problems are far beyond anything that we could possibly help them with. But if we could bring them to Jesus, He can forgive. He can heal. He can deliver. He can change. He can set free. He can save. He can put a marriage together. Hallelujah. He can bring light into a dark hole. Home where mom doesn't live for the Lord and dad doesn't live for God and the kids are already bound by habits and sin. He can change that whole household, and where it had been darkness, He can bring light. Amen. We can't do that, but we can bring them to Jesus, and He can do, you can make a difference. You say, what can I do about their problem? Bring them to Jesus. What can I say to them? Bring them to Jesus. And then they had to go to where the man was in order to take him where Jesus was. They went to that man's house. They carried him out of his home. And I don't know how you want to interpret that. You can interpret any way you want to. Knock on their door, make the phone call, send an email, send a text. Amen. However you do it. You could even put it in prayer. Go to where they're at in prayer. Through your prayers, go to them. But they had to go to where the man was to take him where Jesus was. I'm not talking about joining somebody in their sin, but I'm talking about in some way reach out and make contact with somebody that needs help. You could make a difference. Go to them however you go to them, but you're only going to bring them to Jesus when you first go to them and make contact. Amen. Something else about these four: they were not the main players at the event. They were only supporting somebody that needed help. They were not the main players of the event. Amen. We were talking in Sunday school. Amen. People think of ministry sometimes, and they think what happens up on this platform in three or four services a week or however many it is, they think that this is ministry. I want to tell you, amen, far more ministry goes on unseen than you'll ever see on this platform. This is important what we do, the preaching of the word, the leading in worship, but most ministry, it goes on somewhere else, unseen. People doing so many things, not main players, but support. Amen. If you'll remember last Sunday night in our men's service when Brother Jim was given that testimony of people that had touched his life and why he's even here tonight. Did you notice he didn't mention, or if he did, it was just briefly an incident. He didn't mention one preacher. Now, I'm sure preachers had an impact at some point on his life, but he didn't mention preacher. He mentioned like Brother Sam Norvell. Where you at, brother? There he is. People move on me, and I don't know where to point when I'm wanting to hit him, you know. He mentioned others, brothers at Neosho. They weren't the preachers. They weren't the main player. But they touched Jim's life. They made a difference. Amen. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing. You know, I'm not talking about necessarily a widespread malady. But and some people, if you don't put a microphone in their hand, they don't have nothing to do. Amen. If you don't give them position, they don't have anything to do. They don't see anything to do. I'm telling you, these men did not have the... I don't even think they were ushers. I don't even think they had the position of ushers. Amen. They were not the main players, but they had a role to play in bringing someone to Jesus. You may not be a singer. You may not be the preacher. Amen. You may not even be the Sunday school teacher, and all of those are important. Thank God for those gifts to the church. But I'm just saying, amen, you may not be a main player, but you can be one of those that makes a difference of bringing folks to Christ. And by the way, I want to tell you, there's only, and forgive the analogy if it seems crude, but there's only one main player. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything ought to point to, forgive us when we think of somebody else as a main player. We got to have a special singing group or a special preacher with a big name. We don't need that. He's the main player. All we do is bring people with problems to Him and let Him do the work. But while they were not the main player, they were not just spectators either. How many wants to make a difference? I'm telling you, not just in these four walls. You can share with someone this week and see their life turned around. Last of all, you can add to the list. They did their part, and then Jesus did his. They brought the man to Jesus. They couldn't heal him. They couldn't raise him up off that pallet, but they brought him to Jesus. I mean, they didn't just bring him. They weren't easily put out. You say, I'd love to have Jesus come to my house. I'm telling you what, those people trampled that homeowner's bushes on the outside. They left smudges on the windows. And before it was all over, they had their roof torn off. Would you really like to have Jesus come to your house? I mean, they got there and they couldn't get a pallet through the crowd. And one of them got to thinking, wait a minute, if we can't go through the crowd, let's go up and over. Don't you love it when people just aren't easily put off when it comes to the spiritual things? Hallelujah. I mean, you know, some folks gets a little crowd at the altar. They start down the altar. Well, it's too crowded. I'll just go on home. No. They were put out. And they climbed up on that roof and started tearing it off. And we know there were flat roofs. They began to tear that roof off. Hallelujah. Sometimes I like to imagine a little bit. I like to imagine on the inside when they were tearing that roof off. I wonder who was the first to notice. It might have been the homeowner. What's that sound? A little dirt begins to fall down, you know. Hallelujah. And then I like to imagine. See, they didn't have electric lighting. And in any house, it'd be a little dim. I like to imagine when those four broke through that roof, a beam of sunlight, like a spotlight, came through the hole and lit up the face of Christ. Isn't it wonderful what happens if, in our efforts, we spotlight Jesus? They got the hole big enough. That's a pretty big hole to get a man through. And they laid him down at the feet of Jesus. Glory to God. Lets me know that much of what's preached is off today. They'll say, come to Jesus and you'll have a better high than drugs. Come to Jesus and you'll be rich and prosperous. Come to Jesus and you'll always be healthy. The first thing Jesus dealt with was his sin. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven. That's the biggest problem anybody has. Oh, he took care of the biggest problem right off. How many remembers the day when Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee? They brought him to Jesus. Then Jesus raised him up off that pallet. They did their part, and Jesus did his part. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want to close and begin to close music if you would come. But instead of being the one that always has to be carried to Jesus, why not become the one that helps carry others to Christ? Young people, you get preached at a lot. It's because you're right up here, and every preacher likes it. Have you noticed even our visiting preachers, they end up saying young people, they like that. But you know, there comes a point in your Christian walk you have to say, I'm not going to be one of those young people that always has to be carried along and begged to come to church and prayed through from youth camp to youth camp. I'm not going to live that kind of Christian life where I'm always the one on the pallet. I'm going to be one of those that's getting those that are on the pallet that need help and bringing them in. Amen. Music, if you'd come, I'd quit. Who's coming? Okay. I want you to know, you can make a difference. I thought when I said, if you'll come, I quit, we'd have four or five pianists on the way up. You can make a difference. You can be one of that company of four. Brother Bill, when that man had been paralyzed, got to heaven, forgiven, healed, who do you think he looked up when he got to heaven? I'm sure he looked up at Jesus, but who else do you think he looked up? Brother Rose, he might have walked right by some of the apostles and disciples. You know who he's looking for? He's looking for those four guys that brought him to Jesus. Hallelujah. They probably couldn't even carry a tune in a bucket. That's why they weren't in the backup choir. Right? They probably couldn't even play. And I'm not downplaying those that do that. That's their role. But they probably couldn't even play a musical instrument. But they brought someone to Jesus and changed an eternity. Hallelujah. Never forget, I was still quite young myself when I heard a challenging story. The boy was 9 years old. They were in revival. He'd been playing all day and he was wore out. So the preacher got to preaching. It wasn't long till that 9-year-old boy fell asleep and just kind of stretched out in the pew. That's a little old, but he was wore out. But the Spirit of the Lord began to move and it woke him up, and he sat up and he listened for a while. He began to weep. And he came down to the altar. The preacher's still preaching. He came down to the altar and began to pray. And then that 9-year-old boy, he got up from his knees and began to walk back down through the aisle. I mean, things had been dead. Nobody had been moving. Nobody getting saved. He walked down the aisle, went to some old backsliding man, got him by the hand, started tugging him, brought him to the altar. That man knelt down, began to sob and pray. That 9-year-old boy went back over here, another backslider, just got him by the hand, weeping, tugged on him a little bit, brought him to the altar. I don't remember how many he brought, but revival came to that church. Salvation came to those lives. Hallelujah. You can make a difference. Isn't that what being a Christian's all about? It's not just a feel good at a service or getting my spiritual massage on Sunday so I can feel good. Being a Christian is making a difference. Hallelujah. If you want to join the company of the four, would you stand across the building and say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Hallelujah. Would you reach up your heart to heaven and say, God, I'm making myself available. I'm making myself available. Would you use me, God? Would you not use me, Lord? Hallelujah. 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 I want to ask you tonight, how many thought of somebody that needed help as I was preaching tonight? You thought of somebody that needed help. How many thought of somebody that needed the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to join that company of the four, if you want to make a difference with your life, I want you to come and fill this altar and say, Lord, I'm available. Who do you want me to bring to you? Whom do you want me to bring to you, Lord? Oh, God, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to believe it as you come. You can make a difference. You can be one of those four. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Come on, let's take it serious tonight. Say, Lord, Lord, I want to be like those four. I want to be instrumental in making a difference in somebody's life. I want to be one of those that takes one of the corners of that pallet, of that one that's suffering, that one whose life is messed up. I want to be one of those that takes that corner and brings that one to Jesus. I'll go to him, Lord, however I need to do it. I'll go to him. I'll go to him, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to believe that. The enemy will tell you. Yourself will tell you. Maybe somebody else told you that you can never make a difference. You don't listen to that. Hallelujah. That's not true. You can make a difference. You can join the company of that four. Hallelujah.